Well, good morning, church, and welcome to West Winds Community Church Online. We are so glad that you joined us this morning. There are many options out there for you for online church, and we're just thankful that you are here with us today. Please feel free to chat in the side chat room there and communicate and connect with friends and other people that you haven't seen in quite some time, so make sure you utilize that. If there's anything that you need us to pray for you with, please, there's a prayer connections button there, as well as if you want to know any information about the church, that'll be in there as well. And also the giving button is there if you need to do your tithes and your offerings. Well, I want to thank Pastor Paul for doing an incredible message. Of course, he's always great to listen to and always has great things to say. But what a timely message. What an incredible Holy Spirit-led message that he gave us last week. So thankful for that, where he talked about the church and the hypocrisy that can be in the church, as well as how we can all be transformed because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross and where he rose from the dead. So we can all be transformed and be different. And that really ties into our scripture today in James chapter 3. Now, James chapter 3 is very well known out there in the theological world because it talks about the tongue and how dangerous our words can be. And so we're going to read just a few verses of chapter 3, and then we're going to get into some ways that we can control our words. Let's look at those today. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, these verses are incredibly powerful, and we also know that as we move forward in life, our words carry weight. The older we get, the more mature we become, our words carry weight. And those who respect us will either respect us or not respect us because of the words that come out of our mouths. And now we've all been in a situation where we said something we shouldn't have said. And that's going to happen. We're not perfect. We're working, you know, our way to be more like Jesus, but we are not perfect. And until we meet Jesus, we're not going to be perfect, but we can strive to be better. And our words carry so much weight and can cut like a knife through someone's day. It can wreck them and set their course. You know, this scripture talks a lot about how a boat sets sail and the pilot who steers it can put it in any direction with a very small rudder. And it's the same with our words. Small words can mean a lot and set the course for your own direction in life, as well as steer others in a direction that maybe you don't have the right to steer them in. So we need to be very careful with the words that we use. And because they carry weight, that can cause an incredible amount of damage all around us. But it also, on the flip side of all that, can cause incredible healing and positivity and change in people's lives. That's why the positive thinking and the positive speaking motivational speakers are so powerful because there is truth to the words that we say, how we speak to ourselves and how we speak to others. Because how we talk to ourselves really is important. A lot of times we don't recognize that we're also made in the image of God. We've been told everyone else is made in the image of God, you're made in the image of God, but sometimes we don't reflect that same thing to us, and we are made in the image of God. So it's good that we recognize that, and when we're speaking to ourselves, don't speak poorly about a person who's made in the image of God. And that person is staring you in the mirror every morning that you get up. Speak positive things. Speak things of love to yourself. And I promise you that will come out into others' lives as well because of the way you speak to yourself. You'll speak to them in positive ways. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, that word, that love means appetite. So those who love the tongue will eat its fruit. The word love means appetite for. You'll have an appetite for it. And so those who love to speak will reap either life or they will reap death. You will reap positive or you will reap negative. Depending on the words that you use, there are only two options. And you know, our culture today does not like to have more than one choice. And that one choice is their own choice and how they feel and my truth. And I get so tired of hearing people say, "Well, this is my truth." Well, guess what? Just because you think it's your truth doesn't mean it's your truth. So we got to be careful where we put truth in, where we place our truth, and who we place our hope, love, and truth in. So recognize that there's a positive way and a negative way. There's no in between. There's no my way or what. There's positive. There's negative. And so our culture doesn't really like that. Maybe that's why the scriptures are so clear about how we speak to each other, to ourselves, to God. In James chapter 1, verse 19, there's wisdom in that where he says, be swift to hear, quick to hear, and slow to speak. It's a very difficult time that we're in right now, and we all have different ways of reacting. So our stress reactions will sometimes impact our speech. So what we say is dependent on whether or not we're in a stressful situation and how long that carries over for. And we've been in our situation here in the world for a year or more, and people are stressed. And that's when things start to come out. That's when our words start to either build people up or knock them down. And I have noticed in churches in general, in the Christian community, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or all, you know, social media, wherever it is, articles, doesn't matter, whatever you're reading, it's there, where people, Christians, are attacking each other. It's actually quite upsetting to me to see how divided the Christian church is today. And when I talk about that, I'm not necessarily talking about our church. Specifically, I'm talking the universal church. North American Christianity is so divided and people are picking sides when I really thought the only side we had was Jesus. That's what I thought, and apparently, no, that has now involved political leaders. It has involved whether or not you agree with a certain scientific creation, like vaccines. All these things have come out, and now people are picking sides, and this is getting out of hand. It's getting quite irritating, to be honest with you. And so I want us to be a church that is moving in the right direction. We speak positive to each other, to ourselves, and we preach love. And we are on the side of Jesus. We're not on the side of any kind of political leader, whether it's in Canada or in some other nation. We are on the side of God, and that's where I want to be. In the end, when this all washes away, what's left? There will be no more nations. There will only be God. And so that's who I'm putting my trust, my hope, and my faith in. So let's have a culture. Let's cultivate a culture that loves on others and doesn't tear other people down. And that includes each other in our own church and outside. We're not going to point fingers, not interested in it, but what we're going to do is we're going to build each other up and we're going to talk positively. We're not going to gossip. We're not going to be hypocritical, as Pastor Paul talked about last week. We're not going to say one thing and go do another. We are going to speak love and we are going to be love. I'm probably banging this drum a little too much, but it's one of these things that has really been on my mind lately, really been frustrating. I'm not in the mood of arguing with Christians. That's not what I'm here for. I am here to preach the message and the words of Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Like it or lump it, that's how it's going to be. So as we look at this scripture, I'm going to continue on. As we look at this scripture, we have to recognize that we've put our foot in our mouths. We've done it. We've all done it. And we're going to do it again. It's promised. And it's really hard to repeal any type of negative words that we've said to somebody because people take it. Remember the small rudder on a big ship steering it in the right direction? The impact is huge. And our words are going to impact those around us. And it's really hard to take it back. When you're steering a ship and you turn it in one direction, in order to get it back on track, it takes time. But it doesn't take much to move it in that one direction the very first time. So we can impact people's lives either positively or negatively. So how do we challenge and change the way we speak? Or how do we deal with any destructive habits that we have? We're going to focus mostly on speech. So how do we do that? Well, in the book, The Power of Habit, it talks about how habits can be changed if we understand how they work. So a lot of people say, well, this is just who I am. This is how I speak. This is how I talk. Well, no, that may be how you speak and how you talk, but you can change that. It's not like, well, this is who I am and I'm never going to change. We say that. That's a habit of telling ourselves that we're not going to change, that we're not going to improve. And when we recognize something in our lives that's lacking or that needs improvement, it's important that we take those steps to change those thought patterns, those habits. And this is important. Now, we all know the stories of great basketball players like Steve Nash and Larry Bird, going back a little bit there, who continually took shots. Shot after shot after shot, habitually practicing. Sidney Crosby, we all know the famous washing machine and dryer that he would shoot pucks into all day long down in the basement of his parents' house. Routine, constantly doing the same thing made them awesome. And we can change our habits. We just have to be ready to do it, ready to spend that time to step in and that work to change it happen. And in this book, The Power of Habit, they explain that habits are shaped by and around cues, routine, and rewards. Certain cues trigger cravings that lead us to follow a certain routine to get a certain reward. So we've all had that. Like, so when I'm trying to set a goal for myself, the cue is this is what I want to do. The routine is this is how I'm going to do it. And in the end, this is going to be my reward. So when I go for, and I haven't done this in a while, but getting back to it, when I go for a run, my goal is I don't like running, okay? I don't think anybody does. And if they tell you, they're probably lying or they're delirious. But when you go for a run, the very first part is battling through that. So I want to be healthy. I want to get my heart rate up, and I want to just be overall cardiovascular health. And as I'm running, the cue is that I got to run, so I start running. And then as I run, every morning it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit of running. And then the reward each day for me, because I have to have some kind of reward then. I'm not one who likes to wait. So my reward is at the end of that run, I'm going to have a nice hot tub. I'm going to jump in the hot tub and just relax, listen to the birds, stare at the stars, stare at the sky, stare at a wall, whatever I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. That's my reward, my relaxation. We all have that. When we're trying to deal with habits, what we need to do is recognize what the cues are. What are our cues? And so we need to slow our life down in order to find out what those cues are. You know, a lot of times we're so busy and we just accept the habits that we have that we're not looking for the cues that trigger the rest, the routine, and then the reward. I mean, you can take it in a negative direction. A lot of times we have cravings for certain foods, bad foods, sweets, whatever it is, and then we get that, and the reward is that feeling at the end. But overall, that habitual thing, if we're doing this every day, those are negative impacts on our life and on our overall dietary health. So habits can be broken. So what we need to do is find out what that cue is and overcome it. So when I'm trying to overcome a craving, what I do is when I get that feeling, I drink water. That's the new routine. As soon as I get a craving that I need to eat or snack or eat something bad and that's bad for me, I grab a glass of water and I drink it. And that becomes a habit. And what is the reward in the end? I'm healthier, I feel good, my clothes fit, all that kind of stuff. That's how you break. But I have to figure out what those cues are, right? A lot of people don't know those cues in their lives. And so whatever it is in your life that is causing you to speak in a way, find out that's negative, that's negatively impacting you or others, find out what the cue is that has created this routine, okay? So slow your life down, figure it out. And so the routine is a habit that's changeable. And we can do that, and I believe you can do it. And I think there's great things in store for you if you recognize the cues, so slow down. A lot of times people say, slow down, take a breath. Well, yeah, slow down, take a breath, but don't just mindlessly do that. Let's find out what's going on. Let's recognize the cue in our life because we've slowed down. So in this scripture, we talk about taming the tongue. James begins with that, and it's significant in our lives. The way we speak is significant. The control that our words have over us is significant as we continue to walk in our relationship with Jesus Christ, as seen in James chapter 3, verse 2. This design is to show that if man can control his tongue, he can have complete dominion and control over himself as much as man has control over a horse and bit. And that's as the scripture kind of moves on. And so if we can control our words, the things that we say, if we can stop them from coming out of our mouth and recognize what they are before we say them, that's going to be a key. So slow down, take a step back, and recognize what you're about to say and the implications that may have on you, on others, and in your relationship with God. Secondly, so we want to slow life down, and we want to recognize those cues. That point is within the first point of slowing life down and recognize the cues. But they're going to help you recognize when you should slow down. And that's why Scripture says in James chapter 1, verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Because what happens usually is we hear someone say something, we're quick to be angry, we didn't hear what they fully said, and then we go off on a tangent, and probably in many situations, we don't even know what we're angry at, we just assume, and of course, we all know what that does. And as we are going down this path that's like completely off track, the person in front of you is hurt, and now how do you repeal that? So Paul offers this solution to destructive speech, and he shared the contrast of poor speech with good speech. So rather than lying, speak the truth. You know, instead of being a hypocrite, do what you said you're going to do, as Pastor Paul talked to us last week. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And instead of tearing others down, we're to build others up with our speech. Paul is saying that Christians should be characterized by the words that they use and by being helpful to mankind, not trying to tear mankind down, but trying to build each other up. So we live in a world that speaks falsehoods, and I know that, you know, we've heard so many contradictory stories. We've heard contradictory of truth. Most of the time, we don't even know what's correct and accurate when we're listening to anything on TV or reading anything online. It's quite amazing the time that we're in. But one thing we do know that is true, one thing we do know that speaks the truth, it's the Word of God. And I don't care what you see on TV, I don't care what you hear or what you read, this has not changed. And the Word of God speaks to our everyday lives. You just got to get in there and find it. You got to get in there and look for it. You know, it's so easy to not read this book because it looks like there's a lot going on in here. It's pretty heavy. We don't understand all the, you know, ins and outs of it. But the only way we can know what God is saying to us in this time where lies are everywhere is by being in His Word and understanding what He is saying. Because really, this book, the multiple books and letters that are in this book, is not going to give you the answers to everything that you want to know. But what it is going to do, it's going to give you the one thing that you need to know, is that you need to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. This whole entire book. In fact, James, otherwise known as Jacob, but we won't get into that today. James, he is writing a lot from the Proverbs. He's writing a lot about exactly what Jesus taught. And that's important to understand. He's taken things out of Proverbs. He's taken the Sermon on the Mount, and he has taken the words of Jesus in other areas that he saw and witnessed. I mean, he grew up with Jesus, and he's brought them into this letter. And James has brought this. He wrote this letter for Jewish Christians that needed to hear what Jesus had said, and he writes this for them. I'm telling you right now, when it comes to the Word of God, truth, love, joy, peace. You don't need to worry about what your next job is, because you know what? God has said, if he takes care of the birds of the air, how much more is he going to take care of you? These are all things we need to recognize. But we get caught up in the frenzy of church politics. We get caught up in the frenzy of national politics. We get caught up in our own opinions and how we feel, and that we want our ego to be stroked. We have got to come back to the Word of God, love Him, and love others as we'd love ourselves. And you know what? Right now, people do not know Christianity by the way we love each other. Because guess what? When you look out there in the news, it's all about them wanting their opinions to matter more than whatever. I thought we were all supposed to be on the same team. So guess what? We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're going to love God, and we're going to show love to each other by the way we speak. We're going to tame our words, control our words, so that when something needs to be said, people actually stop and listen, because we're not always yammering about and spewing venom about how our rights are being destroyed. Because I tell you right now, in Jesus' time, his rights didn't seem to matter, and I'm pretty sure we're not in that situation just quite yet. So worse times in the Roman Empire than we have right now. Do we want it to get that way? Absolutely not. But the point is, we could have it way worse. So let's focus on loving others and reaching out to those less fortunate and caring. So recognize your cues. Recognize the cues that trigger. We could also call them triggers, that trigger your responses. Triggering is important to recognize in our own lives. And if we don't have a good self-awareness, we're going to miss those cues or those triggers that will cause us to react a certain way. We all have triggers. I know mine. I know others. Other people know mine. We're like, you can recognize it, but sometimes we don't see it ourselves. So recognize the cues. And the very last point here is, then after you have figured this all out, after you have stopped, slowed your life down, checked it out, what's going on, take a breather, you've recognized the cues or the triggers, the next thing is respond appropriately, respond correctly. You see, psychologically, words can affect how our brain is developed. Positive words such as peace and love can alter the expression of genes, strengthening areas in our frontal lobe and promoting the brain's cognitive function. See, I do a lot of critical incident stress management with emergency service workers. And when they are stuck in a highly emotional state because of something they've seen, been involved in, or both, what I try to do is get them back into their cognitive functioning, because they're stuck in an emotional state, because all they can see is the horrific scene that they saw and the emotions that come along with that, whether it was a death and whatever it may be. And so the key is to bring them back into a cognitive frontal lobe situation where they are able to process things not as emotionally as they were before. Doesn't mean there's no emotions involved, but it helps separate and basically kind of compartmentalize, as well as, you know, understand where they're coming from. And how you do that is by working with your hands, right? And then speaking words of affirmation and positivity and getting them to start thinking. And it's almost like, you know, an old Model A car, just cranking that engine to get it going back again. It may run a little rough, but we're going to get it going, and then it'll be smooth. And it's so important to recognize that positive words make a difference. They propel the motivation centers in our brain, and they put it into action. And when we do this regularly, it builds resiliency of the mind. And that's something that we all need to work on. If you're finding that you're fatigued mentally, we want to build resiliency in your mind. So if you're stressed out because of everything that's going on, you need to break that chain right in the middle of it. And that means stop, assess, find the cue, and then respond appropriately. You know, in the other way, negative language or hostility can disrupt those genes' development in our brain, and it can play a part in producing chemicals within our body that also protects us from stress. We're hardwired naturally. God made us, and it's part of our brain. That we are prepared. It's called the fight or flight syndrome event, because we want to survive. And so a lot of times we will either fight or we will run. And there's actually, they've found even more, that we will also freeze. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you froze out of fear or frustration or whatever it was. A lot of people will do that. Some people will run in a different direction. Other people will get up and fight. And that means they'll be more aggressive. But our thoughts naturally go to protect ourselves first. And if we don't have control over those, and this is all based on our human body, if we don't control those things, we're going to react inappropriately or not correctly. So my question for you today is, how are you going to respond to our scripture on taming your tongue? Because if you can control that, you can control the rest of your body. See how we walk through this? You control your tongue and the words that you say, because what happens if you don't, they're going to go in a direction that will impact your physical body, chemically, physically, in all sorts of ways, in a way that will have you lash out, which will then impact your relationships, what will then impact them and their path. You see, it's all tied together, and we don't always see that. We're like, oh, that's their problem if they can't control their life, or if they listen to what other people say. No, it's on us to control our tongue, and it's important, because if we're to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, as God has said, Jesus said it, I didn't say it, and we're to love each other, then really the argument, we can stop right there and we just have to do it. We have to do it. We got to figure out a way to do it. And so I want to challenge you today. You can ignore these words. You can ignore it, go along your merry way and not even worry about it, or you can say, you know what? I'm going to take steps each day. Will I make mistakes? Of course, we all do. You're going to, but you continually move forward by trying to maintain and control your speech, because we can build each other up or we can tear each other down. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Today, it is your choice. What are you going to do? I can't make you do anything. What are you going to do about James chapter 3 and how you control the words that you say? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. And I just pray for those out there that are maybe struggling with the words that they use. I just pray that you will give them strength by your Holy Spirit. Come alongside them. And when they're out and about speaking with others and even speaking to themselves, that you will give them the strength to control the tongue, control the words that they say, and love their neighbor as themselves so that we can help each other move forward and grow and impact those in our world that need help from you today. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives, what you have done, and what you are about to do. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Don't forget that we are going to have another drive-in service on Father's Day, so be prepared for that information to come out. Really excited to do that again. We've worked out all the bugs that we had that day, so it should run just nice and smoothly. But thanks again for joining us, and I can't wait to see you next week. God bless you.